The Word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, of the joints and the marrow, and is a critic of thoughts and intents of the heart. All Scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Study to show yourselves approved unto God, a workman that does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. All right, 3 John, verse 1. 3 John. Aside from making the effort to be here, which should be a privilege and something you're looking forward to, in spite of anything that is going on in your life, knowing that Bible doctrine is the answer to help you to deal with a variety of situations that exist in your personal life and in the cosmos at large, as we work our way through these perilous times, the Bible said there would be. And God will provide everything you and I need, spiritually and physically. We just have to keep ourselves in the will of God, in the truth, and that means now to find yourself truly in fellowship. And what that produces is your close attention to the information presented. Let us pray. Well, Father, greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. And we thank You for that. And we thank You that our faith in Jesus Christ has overcome the doom of those that are outside the plan of God. We thank You that we have this opportunity and the resources to continue to move forward in the midst of our trials and difficulties, which we thank You that You sanctify all those to us if we are compliant with Your will. Bless our time together as we proceed into this epistle in Christ's name. The elder to the beloved Gaius, whom I love in truth. This letter, of course, is written from a male believer, the elder, as he styles himself, to another male believer, Gaius. The verse itself rings in the same vein as what we saw in his address to the chosen lady in the previous epistle. The word beloved, the word whom I love, and the phrase whom I love in truth. Of course, the adjective presbyteros, that adjective is used for someone who is either elderly, or someone who is in a position of authority. John was both when he wrote this. Beloved is the with the definite article with the adjective agapetos. Beloved, sometimes our synonym dear. Beloved's fine. Gaius, a good solid Roman name. Whom I love, present indicative of agapao, the verb to love, in, without the definite article, in truth, which could be taken two ways, that his love is genuine, or that his love is based on truth. I lean that direction. The list of letters in the New Testament written to an individual include Philemon, 1 and 2 Timothy, Titus, 2 John, and this short letter. 2. John identifies himself as the elder, a title which is low-key, considering the fact that he was a first-line apostle. But he didn't need to drop that. That was well known by those familiar. But it does still carry the connotation of authority in his position. But nonetheless indicates a relationship of authority and identity. The term is found in 1 Timothy 5:19, and Peter refers to himself in his first letter as the elder. Maybe they were more comfortable with that in dealing with certain situations and individuals. John identifies himself as the elder. All right. 3, Gaius was a common name in the Roman Empire. Like our John or James or something, was quite a common name. You know, cosmically, the most famous of all was Gaius, first name, Julius Caesar. All we know about this believer is what is in this letter. Interestingly, there is a Gaius who provided a place for believers to assemble and reside, mentioned in Romans 16:23, where we have a list of individuals. As Paul gets to the end of that letter, Gaius, host to me and to the whole church, greet you. Erastus, the city treasurer, greets you. And Quartus, the brother. Interesting collection of people in the Roman church, say the least. He apparently provided the meeting place and facility for these Christians. But this isn't the same Gaius. John addresses him as his beloved or dear friend in verses 1, 2, 5, and 11. This term of affection indicates an established relationship. He isn't just throwing around nice language. He is dear to him. They had some history and relationship unknown to us. But this is a personal letter, and it doesn't need to be known to us. Only that they had a long-standing relationship as two believers in time, two male believers. Their relationship is tied to their mutual love of truth. Cannot reiterate that enough. Solid relationships are those who are grounded in the truth, who are like-minded, and have fellowship based on that. Differences of opinion here and there tend to undermine that. The phrase, whom I love in the truth, is used in 2 John, verse 1, the chosen lady and her children, whom he had great affection and three love among believers. Interrelationship among believers who are positive. Other types of love has its place. But you can't have this kind of love with someone who is not positive and connected to the truth. It just doesn't exist. You can love somebody, care about somebody, but if they're not positive, they can't return it. Genuinely. We see this in a lot of ways in our lives with individuals, in our family and others. Love of the truth is the basis for bona fide Christian fellowship. People can love people having a common experience, going through various things, and have this kind of friendship or love. But we're dealing here with a relationship based on the truth. Well, sorry about that. I thought I looked that back up, but I didn't, so my bad, my deal. I wanted to show you something from the Old Testament, but I can't right now. See if this works. Chapter 2:12 of Acts. And they all continued in amazement and great perplexity. Oh, good grief. Are you telling me this again? I thought I had these right. We're going to keep trying here. I apologize. I don't know how I got at that. Okay, I'll try to be more careful. This one doesn't have to do with love. It has to do with the opposite, where we're not to be bound together with non-believers. For what fellowship have righteousness and lawlessness, or what fellowship has light with darkness? Well, that's pretty obvious. I will get those straight for you next time. Therefore, if there's any encouragement in Christ, if there's any consolation of love, if there's any fellowship of the Spirit, any affection and compassion. Make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. That's what we're supposed to be all about. And, of course, 1 John 1, 3, this one is simply to point out that what we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you also, so you may have fellowship with us, and indeed our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. If we say we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie, do not practice the truth. That eliminates a bunch of people from the equation. But if we walk in the light as He Himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of His Son cleanses us from all sin. All right, this letter of concern for Gaius' well-being demonstrates John's love for him. All right, we pick up here with a prayer wish. Beloved, I pray in all respects you may prosper and be in good health, just as your soul prospers. Again, beloved, in all respects, it's the preposition peri, concerning, and then the adjective in all, pos, in all, and it's a plural, so that's your that's brought into the English as in all respects. I pray, present deponent indicative, eukomai, pray that you may prosper. The word prosper is the infinitive, present passive infinitive, euodoomai. It means in an enterprise to succeed. It means to do well. It can even be made in context to earn money. Be possible. This usage is found in Romans 1:10. Where it is simply, always in my prayer making request, if perhaps now at last, by the will of God, and then this word, I may succeed in coming to you. So that's the idea of to succeed in some type of an enterprise. And James 5:16, where we have, the last part of that verse, the effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. Anyway, all right, to succeed. Again, here it is a prayer, especially for Gaius's overt prosperity as opposed to spiritual prosperity. He isn't praying here for his spiritual prosperity. He is praying for the externalities of things that can come along as a result of spiritual prosperity. The wish for him is that he prospers in all respects or in all things. This covers a wide range of possibilities. Maybe John had some insight. John does single out the man's health, Gaius's health. Maybe he had health issues that he was dealing with. And so the infinitive may be in good health is the verb hugiano. It means to be sound, like in doctrine, well grounded, and also dealing with the physical part of a person, to be in good health. So it is a prayer, and it is used of health in Luke 5:31 as an example of usages of it. Jesus answered and said to them, "It is not those who are well who need a physician, but those who are sick." Those who are well then indicates it's used of physical health in that instance. And in 7:10 of Luke, when those who had been sent returned to the house, they found the slave in good health, having been the beneficiary of a miracle on the part of Christ. This verb is used of being sound in the faith, spiritually healthy, in a number of passages cited here in point 12, of being sound in the faith, as we have in 1 Timothy 1:10. "And immoral men and homosexuals and kidnappers and liars and perjurers and whoever else, and whatever else is contrary to sound teaching." Like we wouldn't know that, but all that activity is contrary to sound teaching. 6:3, "If anyone advocates a different doctrine, does not agree with sound words, those of our Lord Jesus Christ, and with the doctrine conforming to godliness." Sound words there in 6:3 and 2 Timothy 1:13. "Retain the standard of sound words which you have heard from me in the faith and love which are in Christ Jesus." And 4:3. And of course, this, we're well into this. "For the time will come when they," he's referring to believers, not unbelievers, "they will not endure sound doctrine, but desiring to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance with their own desires." And Titus 1, verse 9, "Holding fast the faithful word, which is in accordance with the teaching, so that he will be able to both to exhort in sound doctrine and to refute those who contradict." Responsibility of a pastor teacher there in 1:9-13. "This testimony is true. For this reason, reprove them severely." How about that? People are out of line, need to be reproved severely, so that they may be sound in the faith. Maybe it'll wake them up. That's a potential, of course. Titus 1:9-13, and 2:1. But as for you, speak the things which are fitting for sound doctrine. And 2, older men are to be temperate, dignified, sensible, sound in faith, in love, in patience or perseverance. All right. Clearly, the usage here, though, has to do with Gaius's health. He's sound in the faith. Spiritually, he is on board and on track. John has his own information to verify that, as we shall see developing later in this letter. He gets reports. And he was, of course, concerned about the well-being, and he depended on visitors and people to relate to him things of this nature. So, are we to conclude that Gaius was under a health test, along with the need in the material realm? If things were fine with him in this regard, then John's wish for him loses its impact. It has more impact if he's laboring under some kind of testing related to his person, such as health or wealth. John's wish for his friend is that Gaius's overt circumstances will significantly turn around to match his soulish prosperity. John felt strong enough about this that this man's, and this will be brought out in the letter, the kind of applications he was making, in spite of whatever difficulties he was having in the physical realm. Again, if a person doesn't have good health, or wonderful health, it doesn't mean they're not spiritual. It doesn't mean it at all. Timothy labored with a variety of health issues. Paul mentions these to him, mentions these about him. It's just so what some believers are going through at any particular time. So don't take from this that I'm saying, like the health and wealth gospel crowd, so-called, out there, that if you're a good Christian, you will have health and wealth. There's too much in Scripture and too many examples that overturn that. But in this case, it shows a place to pray for an individual who has been faithful to the plan of God, and you've observed them, and you know their spiritual status, and so you offer up a prayer wish, that they would prosper in all respects. That's a wide open type of a prayer, that he'll get some relief and temporal blessing to match up with his spiritual health. In this regard, John repeats the same verb used in connection with Gaius's health. Just as your soul prospers, the verb euoduomai means to prosper in some realm. Just as your soul, and just as is kathos, just exactly like your soul, suke, the noun for soul. So it's pretty obvious from this, this is the opening introduction to the letter to provide encouragement that he has the Apostle Paul on his side praying that the circumstances that are difficult for him in this regard will be turned around and turned to a positive chapter in his life. So this type of a prayer is bona fide in the proper place. Now, we pray for people here. We have health tests, as we should. But in this instance, we're not praying. He's praying for someone who is spiritually in a good place. Just as your soul prospers, point 18, indicates a high level of improvement in Gaius' circumstances, as he was a top-notch believer. Nothing could be said about him. He was absolutely, and as we shall see in the letter coming up, the marquee application he was consistently making. And he was a member of a church. This comes out in the letter too. A congregation. So he was a top-notch believer in terms of devotion to truth, and its application is noted in the body of this letter. This stood out about him, that he was very on top of showing hospitality to the right people. And he did this consistently and diligently. Again, one has to kind of try to appreciate the circumstances. The Word of God promises a variety of temporal blessings that flow from faithfulness to the truth. And hopefully you have garnered some of those in your lifetime and are garnering some of these temporal blessings. That these are available to believers, and of course, there's nothing like the book of Proverbs to bring this out. There's temporal blessing for adherence to God and His plan for believers. The book of Proverbs is replete. I didn't by any means. There's so many verses in Proverbs that you probably have read and seen that deal with this particular aspect of the Christian life. I mean, there's so many different things. Now, everything doesn't apply equally to every believer. It's not like we all get the same package and the same time and same way. But for diligence and faithfulness, some of you have persevered in situations in Maranatha Church for years, and God came around for you and blessed you. You didn't give up. You didn't say, what's the use? It might have been not your fault, but a failed marriage. The other person acted up the way they did. You did not, to your credit, you did not allow that to throw up your hands and that's it. Even if you in that marriage had done everything right before God and everything, and then things happen. Stuff happens like this. And you stuck with it. And God rewarded you with an opposite number who, like you, is positive and devoted to the plan of God. You weathered that storm all those years. And you were rewarded for it. You didn't say, what's the use? Or go out here shopping for some nitwit in the cosmos. You didn't do that. You stayed in Bible class. I've tried to emphasize these lessons over and over again. God knows everything about you. He will take care of you and He will provide in this example. But this one here is, and this isn't, like I said, for every believer all the time, but the writer of Proverbs is putting before his son the potentiality of things and good things that can come to you if you will take heed and pay attention to my wisdom, your father's wisdom. That's all you can do is lay it out for people. For length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. Things he tells him to not get caught up in. Verse 8, again, it will be healing to your body. A number of us, now again, I have to be careful. I'm not trying to say that if, you had a long-standing chronic health test that there's something wrong with you spiritually. That's not true. Or am I saying that necessarily it's all going to clear up and go away? Each person has to look at their niche and their circumstances and figure out what's appropriate. It will be healing to your body. Now he's speaking to his son who may have health tests and refreshment to your bones. And he gives him keys. Honor the Lord from your wealth and from the first of your produce, so your barns will be filled with plenty. This is a key. Do not be stingy when it comes to supporting the spiritual side of things. And that would be the temple, the priesthood, whatever, the forum for giving. Don't slack up on that. Make that a priority. And your vats will overflow with new wine. And then he gives him more advice. Do not reject the discipline of the Lord. This implies you're going to get online and you're going to come under divine discipline. Do not reject it or loathe his reproof. Whoever form that comes in. For whom the Lord loves, he reproves. Even as a father corrects the son in whom he delights. He takes pains in this department. Time to talk about Christian child rearing, but as a parent and responsible, you need to take this seriously. And when you do discipline, whether it's verbal or otherwise, you need to do it as unto the Lord and not because you're mad and upset. You need to understand that. You are not to overdo it in berating and carrying on. Make it clear where they're out of line and what needs to be corrected. Because there's some fathers who have been extremists in that side of things. What'd you expect? You got a child, you're going to expect them to be perfect? You weren't. They're going to step out of line and you have the opportunity to explain to them first and be in fellowship and exhort them appropriately. Because some people, they've been raised by really, you know, totalitarian fathers, and they react to that in their own life. I'm not going to be that way. And they tend to flip off to the other extreme. The child has to know you care about them and love them. They've got to know that. And once the discipline is passed, we all move on. You don't keep bringing it up. It's not appropriate. God doesn't do that with you and me. 16. Long life again is in her right hand, in her left hand are riches and honor. These are the potentials for those under the truth. The next chapter, prize her, verse 8, and she will exalt you. In due time, she will honor you if you embrace her. This is wisdom here as personified as a female. She will place on your head a garland of grace. She will present you with a crown of beauty. 12. Take hold of instruction. Do not let her guard her, for she is your life. And that's guarding the truth in the soul. And 21. There's so many verses. Do not let them depart from you. Wrong chapter. 8:19. My fruit is better than gold, even pure gold, and my yield better than choice silver. 19:21. To endow those who love me with wealth, that I may fill their treasuries. Now this is going to, for all of us, we're not here to try to get rich. We're here to serve God, and if He blesses us materially in certain ways, that's His business. You just have to pray for wisdom in this regard. But it's good to have a spiritual mentor, as Gaius did. A spiritual mentor who recognizes those who are in line for temporal blessings based on love of truth. So, Gaius found out that John was praying for his health and his external circumstances in all respects, that God would grease his skids, bless him, because he was holding firm there in an environment where he had opportunity to make application. And that comes out in verses 3 through 4. Now we find out, you know, the Christian life isn't just learning doctrine, it is living doctrine and taking opportunities to apply towards others that you might be able to assist. So he was in a situation. No one made him do this. He volunteered to do this, showing the fact that, and John will give this in verses 3 and 4, of which I'm going to shut down a little early today because get in and I have to start all over Sunday, so I'll give you a little bit of break. Always remember that the children are being taught truth too. And I don't care if we have three or four or whatever we have. We got teachers who are faithful and who will teach them the truth. My grandson pays attention to it, talks to me about it. And I thank those of you who, by the way, do that. Thank you, Father, for the time together. May God the Holy Spirit bless us as we work with this book in Christ's name. Amen.